Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Alex Cintron, hitting coach of your Houston Astros, is going to join us at 9:45. We'll do News of the Weird at 9:30. News of the Weird will come at 9:30, and then Alex Cintron will come at 9:45. So you got to... You got to be here
earlier,
at 9:30.
Earlier. It's going to be more like 9:40 when he wanted us to
come. Oh, he wanted to come on 9:40?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then maybe we'll have a little time at the end. Maybe or maybe not. I don't know. This came down. Who sent this to us? David Whitlock. Next time you think of eating, PETA put this out. Next time you think of eating a chicken, remember, they had a family just like you. Mr. Louis Vuitton said this. This is why I order a family bucket at KFC. No one is left behind. Pretty good, Mr. Louis Vuitton. I like to say Louis Vuitton. Eric is here. Wants to talk NFL. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. Great sports show. I just have a quick question. If Mike McCarthy loses against the Niners, do you think the Cowboys will still go after Sean Payton? And yes. Does Michael Hatfield have an OnlyFans, Michael Hatfield? I'll hang up and listen.
No, see, I knew it. That's Eric Wong. And he asked if one of the news people, Micah Hatfield or Weather or whatever, she has an OnlyFans.
She's a reporter.
Yeah. No. Okay. 13?
She does not have an OnlyFans page. Yes. She does not.
Okay.
Okay. Just so you know.
Good.
And yes, I think McCarthy will be gone. That's Jerry. If Jerry can get, he's been courting Sean Payton for a while.
I know.
So I fully believe if he doesn't win this game, okay, that's all. We're done. Although the Cowboys have been pretty good the last couple of years.
Yeah.
They've been pretty good. Will they be better under Sean Payton?
Yes. I think they'll be.
Is Dak a championship quarterback?
He can be, but I think he's a. I don't know that he's a win because of. I think he's a win with. There's a few win because. I think you have to have the right things around him, and I happen to think they got some pretty good things around him.
Yeah.
You know, they've got. I mean, I know they kept on adding receiver, 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 but man, Gallup's pretty good, and CeeDee Lamb's good, I'm missing another receiver. I mean, they added T.Y. Hilton, but so I think they, you know, maybe they look for another receiver. They've got a couple, Ferguson and Dalton Schultz. I mean, they got a couple pretty good tight ends. They've got an offensive line. Tyron Smith is, you know, has been injured, but you have, I mean, Jason Peters is, you need to keep adding offensive line right now because you have some guys that are not going to be around a lot longer. But Dallas has spent a lot of money on their defense. Like, I feel like there's enough there if Dak doesn't screw it up that they can win a Super
Dan
Campbell's
Bowl doing a hell of a
with
job.
Him. But right now, can you say he won't screw it up? Here's your questions. Can you take care of the football, and can you put a team on your back in the fourth quarter and make some throws when you need to? Trevor Lawrence was able to. Can Dak do that? I mean, I think in theory he can, but I've got to see it.
Yeah. No. Well, we got to see him get there because we haven't. That's all. And so all we know right now is he hasn't. Gilbert is here. Let's see what Gilbert wants to talk about. Hey, Gilbert.
Sunday is Chinese New Year. You know that, don't you? Right?
Oh yeah. What are you gonna? How are you gonna celebrate?
I'll probably pop some firecrackers around my house.
You're gonna toss some firecrackers around your house,
Sister Christian, all the time.
Do you know what that's a reference to?
That's a reference to, do you remember when the little guy, I don't know if he was Chinese, but did you ever see Boogie Nights, John?
No.
Yes, I've seen Boogie Nights.
Gilbert, did you ever see Boogie Nights? So they go to the dope. They go to the cocaine dealer's house, and it's Dirk Diggler and Todd, who's got the mustache, who was also in the show Hung in 61, and then John C. Reilly. They're the three. They're going to go there, and they want to, and they're going to do a coke deal with this coke dealer. And he's, and I can't remember the guy's name. You see him in a lot of Albert Molina. Anyway, he's in a silk kimono, like a robe, you know, and he's in there and he's playing, and his cassette tape is playing Sister Christian, and it's playing real loud. And he's got some little Asian guy in there with a half, like with a crop shirt on and short shorts. And he's lighting firecrackers and throwing them around the house. And the whole time, it's a very nerve-wracking scene because really Todd's just there to rob the guy. And there's a big bodyguard with a gun sitting. It's like a nerve-wracking scene. And Dirk is getting real nervous. And they're getting real nervous. And you keep hearing these firecrackers go off. And all I could think of is Gilbert's going to be walking around his house with Sister Christian on, throwing firecrackers around.
All right. You got Sister Christian, Gilbert, the song?
No.
You don't have it. What year is this, Gilbert? Year of the what coming up?
I don't know. Anyway, you tell me.
I don't know. Is it Year of the Rat?
No, it's Year of the Texan.
No, it's not Year of the Texan. That's not it. That they don't have that. Is it Year of the Dragon? Year of the Rabbit?
I think it's Monkey.
Year of the Rabbit, probably. Yeah,
well,
rabbit,
probably.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Gilbert, you don't have any idea what the...
Year of the Rabbit? Gilbert, do it.
Oh.
Year of the Rabbit.
Yeah, I don't know anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Probably. 2023, January 22nd, more than a billion people globally will welcome the Year of the Rabbit.
See a little guy throwing fireworks
yeah.
right here?
No. I see it.
Yeah. And I also want to say that the restaurant I was talking about is Ocean Palace. On
were
a,
you?
On,
the one
in,
he was...
On Bel Air Boulevard.
Oh, the good one?
No.
Yeah, the good one.
Oh, that's the good one. Ocean Palace is the good one?
Yeah, seafood place.
Where's the one you got sick at?
Oh, I don't think that's right, Gil. I don't think you should.
China Garden.
No, not China Garden.
Yes, it is. China Garden now made me sick now anyway. Ocean Palace, the best now.
You're being ugly, Gilbert. That's not true. You said it was on I-10.
China Garden made me sick. Ocean Palace is the best now. China Garden's the one who gave you a giant bag of egg rolls, Gilbert.
It
was a long time ago when Marianne was still alive anyway.
Right, but Marianne was so nice to you and Carol so nice to you, and now you're going to say stuff like that?
No, I'm not going to say nothing bad. It's okay. That's too far for me to go ride a bicycle now.
But China Garden didn't get you sick. You said it was a place that was in Ranch 99.
Yeah, Ranch 99.
You said it was one of the restaurants in Ranch 99 that got you sick.
Ranch 99 made me sick. That's right. I ran the last China Garden. I'm sorry about that. I made a mistake.
He made a mistake anyway. Made a mistake.
Yeah, I'm not going to go to Ranch 99 anyway, you know.
No. All right.
Just wanted to pull China Garden
And I'm picking J.J. Watt to be the next head coach of the Texans.
Yeah, okay. That's right. I forgot about that.
I like that. Yeah, J.J. Watt.
Yeah, you've been on the
record
there.
I think you're on to something. They haven't interviewed him yet, but Gilbert, I think you're on to something. All right, well, we appreciate it, Gilbert. Thanks for the update. Sunday, Year of the Rabbit, everybody. Not in Vietnam, though. It's the Year of the Cat, apparently. Oh, there's a little bit of a discrepancy going on there. It's 9:13 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk a little hoops. What about hoops, sporting goals, and equipment? Pro Dunk Hoops. ProDunkHoops.com. ProDunkHoops.com. It's the best goal, period. Exclamation point. I say that every time because nothing else is even close. Go to the box store and get that one that has the base that's got sand in it and see it wobble all the time. That's great. Yeah, that's what the kids want. No, Dad, they don't want that. And Mom doesn't want that. Go get the, you know, and oh, by the way, oh, here's your goal. Take it home. Well, Pro Dunk Hoops, they come and install it, put it exactly where you want it, and it's going to last forever. And I mean ever. Unless, like me, when I left my house, I said, hey, can we move this to a neighbor's house? The kid wants to play on the goal. Love it. And it's there. And the installation there is second to none, and it will never go anywhere. So here's the deal, is if you're looking for the best insulation, you're looking for the best product, you're looking for a goal that will raise and lower so that the kids can actually enjoy it, you're looking for tempered glass backboard, you're looking for unrustable stanchion, your mom's looking for this because of the curb appeal, don't get one of those crappy goals that the rim's going to be bent, the backboard's going to need painting. I mean, that's terrible. Don't do it. Get this, Dad. ProDunkHoops.com. Everybody will love it. ProDunkHoops.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
Of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back at 9:20, 9:19, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here to hang out with us. Bottom of the hour, we're going to do the news of the weird, and then Alex Cintron, hitting coach, is going to join us about 9:40.
Let's talk about it.
I got to break down Bryce Young.
Yeah, so right now I'm sending people links. It's going to be on the, it's going to be on the ESPN YouTube channel at 2 o'clock. If you want, you can send me a direct message, but they'll be tweeting it out also. So follow, make sure you're following the ESPN account, and We'll send out the link, but I'm going to do my live Bryce Young evaluation. I have not done my evaluation on Bryce yet intentionally because I wanted to wait to do this for Houston Texans fans. Now, may not matter because he may be gone. But if you ever wanted to if you're ever wondering what it looked like to evaluate a prospect, we're going to have a screen capture, and I am going to on the screen. You're going to see me looking through data. You're going to see me watching film that's connected to data. Like, we'll see, you'll see his data points on all his deep throws, his intermediate throws, his short throws. I'll be looking at all the intermediate throws, for example. I'll look at all the interceptions, all the touchdowns, look at him scrambling. I'll look at him rolling out. Like, everything that goes into what I'm looking at a quarterback, I'm going to share. I'm going to share positional evaluations, like how you're supposed to look at a quarterback. All that will be shared and will be done in real time live, and you can see it at 2 o'clock today on this YouTube channel. So if you want the link, you can send me a direct message, and I'll send you directly the link. Or just simply follow our social media accounts, and they'll tweet or Facebook the links out as well.
Are you going to eat today?
Yes. I'm done with my juicing today.
You're done with
three
your juicing?
3 days. I'm starving. I just looked at that Ocean Palace, and I'm like, yeah, but you can't eat regular right off of it. So
yeah.
I'm going to go to, I'll probably get some like tabbouleh, some Mediterranean, like easy food to digest.
Easy, yeah.
But then I have my birthday dinner tonight with our friends. So we're going to Money Cat.
Is today your birthday or tomorrow?
It's tomorrow, but we're going, that with the family.
That's what
tomorrow.
I thought. Yeah.
But we're going to do a Money Cat. I haven't been to Money Cat yet. Sushi place. It's not just sushi, but. So I'm going to hit that spot. I've been wanting to go there, and Eric Sandler recommended it. So I'm going to try that.
Well, congratulations.
It's always good to be able to
congratulations on breathing another year for tomorrow, your birthday tomorrow.
Yep.
You and Akeem.
Me and Dream.
You and Dream.
Tomorrow's Dream Day.
All right.
We call it Dream Day.
I share a birthday with Mattress Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Who
just made a $2 million bet on the Cowboys.
On the Cowboys. Who has a better share, a birthday share, me or you?
Me. Dream.
Who's more popular?
Me, my guy.
No.
My guy's more popular across.
Who could win mayor, the race for mayor here? Mac or Dream?
That's a tough one for Dream.
That'd be tough for Dream.
It'd be tough for Mac too, though.
No, it wouldn't. Mac could win in a landslide.
Mac's pretty political.
Yeah.
So there'd be some voters who automatically say no to Mac.
Well, actually, he's very Republican, so.
Yeah.
He
Harris County, or are we going to maybe Fort Bend County?
No, Houston or Harris County. It's all blue.
The mayor of
a lot of Democrats would vote for Mac.
If they thought he could. What are we doing? Vote for Mac, vote for Akeem. These guys aren't public servants. One guy sells furniture. The other guy has the best footwork of any big man in the history of the sport.
I'm talking about popularity.
Well, then why don't we just do a Twitter poll? RJ, do a Twitter poll. Who do you like more, Akeem or Mattress Mac?
Yeah.
Do a Twitter poll, and we'll see how it comes out.
No,
I'm gonna
who's
go
more popular?
Akeem. Yeah. Well, popular means who do you like more.
Okay, yeah, okay.
So we'll do that. I'm going to make Akeem a -8.5 points. He's a Hall of Famer. He's won championships. That's no slight to Mac.
Mac has saved the city. Okay.
How did he save the city?
He got wheelbarrows of money. Okay. He saved the city. He's got.
How did he save the city by making himself millions?
Oh, everybody gets free furniture in the city?
That doesn't save the city.
It saved the city.
J.J. Watt saved the city.
J.J. Watt did. But who shares a birthday with him? None of us. Nobody does.
Got to find out.
Probably nobody in the world.
Okay, we have not acknowledged this, but we'll get Brian in a second. Guys, y'all did see Ja Morant's dunk the other night, right?
No, I didn't see it.
It might be the most insane in-game dunk that I have ever seen. Now, part of it is...
I'm just not...
No.
Oh,
you,
guys
you need
can
to hold
dunk.
On. Hold on. Here.
Guys can dunk. Okay.
Yeah, I know, but this one is pretty... nasty. Here you go. John's watching live.
All right, I'm saying it right now. It's like every other dunk.
No, it's not.
Oh,
it's not
on.
Like every other dunk. He literally makes his hand out straight. Come on, show it again.
It's like
he literally puts his hand out straight. Hopefully they show it in
slow
motion.
I've seen 100 of those. Come on.
You haven't seen a bunch of these?
Yes.
He goes all the way back, gets his hands parallel to the ground, his whole arm parallel to the ground. And thumps on a guy so much bigger. Like, that's an insane in-game dunk.
Yeah, that's great.
You're such a
hater. You go through... Okay, ESPN does their top 10 every night. And number one is a dunk. Like, everybody in the NBA can dunk.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
And
there's a lot of great dunks.
There's a lot of great dunks.
A lot of great in-game dunks. That's one of the nastiest I've seen.
I'm done with dunks. I mean, come on. Let's grow up. Ooh, look at that dunk. Ooh!
Are you done with... Okay, so you... Oh, keep that same energy with home... Keep that same energy with home runs, then. Keep that same energy
Really?
When Jordan
hits when
Jordan,
home run. When Jordan,
just another home
when Jordan
run.
When Jordan beats the Phillies with a home run that's in the triple deck.
That's a great home run. Every other home run, big deal. I see these all the time.
Yeah. No, they are. There's a bunch of home runs.
So you don't care about home runs?
No. I mean,
home runs. What about touchdowns? Everyone scores touchdowns.
Everybody scores touchdowns. That's great. You know what?
Everyone makes these catches now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No,
I see them all the time
those
now.
Those are still unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Why?
Well, because you got a guy hanging on you and you're able to catch him.
Or you got
a
guy who's 6'10 and you got to have the athleticism to get up over him, around him, and to be able to bring the ball down with enough force to do it before you hit the ground. That's incredible.
And he didn't stick the landing, by the way, either. He kind of stumbled. Ja. Okay.
Yeah, because it was so far from the basket.
Stop.
That's what makes it incredible.
Ooh, a dunk! Ooh!
Let me tell you.
There's 40 dunks a game.
Let me tell you who's never, ever. You know what you would have hated? The and-one mixtape tour?
Oh. No. No, it was cool.
Big deal.
Actually,
you
it was actually those guys and what they did with the basketball was pretty cool. That's a dunk. It's like every other, not every other dunk. That was a nice dunk. It was a good dunk.
Okay, you know who you would have hated from the N1 mixtape tour? Half Man, Half Amazing.
Yeah, Half Man, Vince
half
Carter?
Half Man, Half Amazing was...
Vince Carter.
No.
Yes.
Oh, no, that is, who was... What was the dunker's name, the great dunker from N1, RJ?
Antoine Fontanette, a.k.a. Mr. 720, a.k.a. the air up there.
Oh, that's one of them, but I'm thinking of somebody else. The air up there is one of them, but there was another
one. Half Man, Half Amazing, Anthony Hayward, was his real name, yes. And he did go on a podcast and say that he was mad to this day at Kenny Smith because he's like, you gave Vince Carter the nickname.
Okay,
that
so
was
I was right. That was the N1 nickname. Yeah. Yeah, it was the N1 name before he gave it to Vince Carter. Vince Carter, the dunk contest, sickest dunks I've ever seen.
Yeah, okay.
To this day.
They're dunks. Stop. Okay. I mean, what are you, 12 years old? Ooh, dunk contest. Ooh.
You do it with home runs.
I do not do it with home
yes,
runs.
Yes, you do.
Now, stop.
I wonder why you like home runs. You don't like dunks.
When Jordan beat Seattle with that home run, yeah, I went, ooh.
You do that when Yuli hits one. It's 342 feet in the Crawford boxes. Oh!
Stop.
Like this. Oh!
Stop with your dunks. All right. Oh, wow. An NBA player can dunk. Are you kidding me?
That guy's shorter than you.
Stop.
He's like 5'4".
Yeah. That's
he's shorter than both of us, and he's thumping on people.
When I was his age, I could dunk too, okay?
That's a lie.
Touch the rim. 927, when we come back, news of the weird. News of the weird. And a woman that kind of reminds me, Lance, a little bit maybe, a little bit of you. Maybe a little bit of you.
Uh-oh.
Okay? Let's,
injuries?
We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.925.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. News of the Weird brought to you by Simple Seeds. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. We have Alex Cintron joining us in the next segment. So we're doing News of the Weird early. Lance, do you feel like there's an epidemic right now of cops having sex with each other?
Well, there was an epidemic with one cop having sex with other cops in one city. Is
in
there
something
Tennessee?
New? Well, this is about the third or fourth story. New York City. Apparently, two officers caught having sex in the precinct parking lot apparently it was really loud sex, and the neighbors called the cops.
Okay, this is kind of like there's dunks every game, so it's not like a big deal. It's kind of like people hook up at work at different jobs all the time.
Yeah. And apparently, well, there are more female officers now, so there might be a little bit more of that going on. Mm-hmm. Women in the workplace, maybe.
Hanky-panky is what we call
maybe,
it.
Yeah, maybe distracting. Women in the workplace might be distracting, right? I just saw.
Well, that's you just saw a video. Women may be distracting, or don't have sex with them.
Right. Maybe you shouldn't.
At work.
How about this, Lance? Scientists have developed an alarm that goes off when you start daydreaming. Do you want an alarm to go off every time
Absolutely
you start?
Absolutely not.
No.
Have you ever? Oh my God.
Right.
I mean. For me especially, that would not work. That would not work.
Have you ever ridden a public bike? I have. I've gone to cities and those scooters. Use those scooters.
I've never, in different cities,
not in ours so much.
Have you gotten on one of those scooters?
Yeah. I was in Washington. I was on one.
Was it fun?
It's great.
Yeah, I just know I would.
No.
I just
see?
Can't. I would hit a rock or somebody would. Like a basketball would come out of nowhere and knock me off. Not because of my own fault. Somebody else would hit me with a car.
Well, apparently, public e-bikes and e-scooters are up to 58 times filthier than toilets. It's so funny. We rented bikes here.
What about Rice?
You can rent some bikes somewhere. So we did it one time, and Frankie was like, I'm not doing that. It's gross. It's gross to be riding a bike somebody else. We were like, Frankie, stop. Just ride the bike. 58 times filthier than a toilet.
How do they figure that out?
Yeah, because there's so much touching and stuff.
Okay, then what now? Do Subway
and 800 times more bacteria.
Times more?
Oh my God, 800 times more bacteria than someone's personal electric bike. Oh well, that's not something I want. There's a woman who reminds me a little bit of you. She is she's from Florida, Delray Beach, Florida.
That's already a bad start.
Apparently, she fell down. You know the sewers that are open on the curb that are kind of big?
Yeah, but they have the whole, like, the grates.
Yeah, No. It's the one that it's a drainage one where it's opened up.
It's open there, and then right next to it is a drain. I know what you're talking about.
The grate is here, but then it's open.
Right. I have them in my neighborhood.
Well, she fell in it, and the cops
How
had to.
How skinny is she?
Well, she's probably pretty, she's pretty skinny. But she fell in there, and the cops had to be called because she fell in the drainage sewer.
That sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible.
I know I'm juicing, but I still can't fall in a drainage.
Well, there she is. She reminds me a little bit of
you. Why does that look like a mugshot?
I don't know why.
That is a mugshot.
That is.
Well, are you sure that's her or
well,
not
she
another
was hit,
story?
She was arrested for hit and run as well. But
are you sure she wasn't trying to hide?
It's not this just that she fell in the sewer. It's the third time she's fallen in that same sewer, and the cops had to come to rescue her.
And third she time. Just happened to be a hit, somebody who was involved in a hit
and
run.
She was involved in a hit and run as well. Yeah. But, maybe stay away from that sewer if I'm her, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not doing that.
A man who, you see this? He got a barbed wire tattooed across his forehead. He regrets it. Now, first of all.
Obviously.
Well, first of all, you should regret it anyway. But everybody is mistaking it for a hair transplant scar.
Because that's what it looks like to me.
It looks like one. It looks like the drawing that the doctor puts on you.
Then you're going to need to shave your head. That's the only thing he can do now is shave his head so it's more clearly a. It does look like a. It does look like a. Something else.
Yeah, it does.
Because it's real close to the hairline.
It absolutely is.
Ever tell you when I met Steve Harvey, he did a comedy show at here in Houston in 2001, and me and a couple friends went because I love Steve Harvey, so we went and see him. This is when he was the original Kings of Comedy, which was brilliant. And we went and saw Steve Harvey, a guy named Rashawn Davis or Rushin Davis. He was his manager. And I think he listened to the radio or whatever. And I got tickets from him. And we went, and it was literally front row. And I'm like, oh.
No, Steve Harvey.
It's all black comedy.
Yeah.
And Monique was out first. And luckily, for the most part, she did. I was keeping my, it was me, Rodney, who's black, and Chris Solis is white. And I'm like, oh, boy. Because we got tickets, and I keep walking lower, lower, lower. Like, oh, my God, front row. This is not where I wanted to be.
No.
And she didn't say, no, she did make a comment at one point. But luckily, we got out of there unscathed. But I saw Steve Harvey, and he had the you could see where he was drawing in
his hair.
Because that's back when he had the tight hair. Yeah. You know, he shaved it. When he found out what I did, all he had one thing. Can you please get me in to see and meet Tiger Woods? That's all he cared about. Do you have any connections in sports to meet Tiger Woods? I said, I kind of do, maybe. Because of Butch at the time. It was 01.
Right.
Was he still with Butch?
Yeah.
And I thought I kind of did, but I didn't get his phone number.
Oh, well,
I saw the hairline drawn. I'm like, that's the move right there.
That's not
He could get away with it. I don't think I could draw a hairline in.
Did you see that Josh McDaniels' wife actually pulled the plug on Josh McDaniels going to the Indianapolis Colts? Mm-mm. So the story goes, Jim Irsay came over for dinner, and apparently... During dinner, he went to the bathroom, and he went to the bathroom for what they call an uncomfortable and awkwardly long time, a very long time during dinner. So the wife was like, oh, you ain't working for this. No, you ain't working for this
guy. Oh, my God,
guy.
What a story.
What? Yes. Is that weird? Well, now,
that's
what if Jim Irsay just had like a real intestinal problem.
No. Let that man, he's trying to,
Okay, how long is uncomfortable and awkward if somebody's in your bathroom? 3-5 minutes?
No. 5 minutes? No, not if they're using the bathroom. Uncomfortable and awkward would be like 20 minutes.
No. Yeah. 5 minutes starts to get a little bit, are you doing in there? 5 minutes is a long time, bro.
Uncomfortable
to be in the bathroom.
No. Not if you're...
Well,
sometimes,
not if you're watching Netflix like you do.
Even at a friend's house, you could be doing this. Scroll. Oh, let's see some TikTok videos.
No, five's
not over the line. Five's not over the line.
Do you go to someone's house when you're on an interview and drop a deuce that long?
If you got to, you got to. I would say uncomfortable.
You try to get out of RJ.
15 minutes.
Be the judge here. Don't you try to get out of the bathroom as soon as you possibly can?
Yeah.
You make it okay. I don't know,
but uncomfortable and awkward. That is well beyond.
Well beyond.
So I think, I'll say 15 minutes. I still think it's more like, that's a long
time.
It's a long time.
Bruh. And Jim Irsay.
If an episode passes.
I don't want Jim Irsay in my bathroom for 10 minutes.
So if you can watch an entire episode of Schitt's Creek, that's too long. Because with you watch them streaming without commercials, it's 22 minutes. That's a long time.
No, are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's not a long time for me to be there because I am just. In all likelihood, a lot of it's just looking at my computer. Like, I'm just messing around.
All right.
We got to go.
Alex
Cintron is coming up.
Alex Cintron is coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you, being joined by Alex Cintron, batting coach of your Houston Astros. Alex, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you? Thank you for participating with you guys.
Well, we really appreciate you being here. You know, Lance and I both think Brent Strom and Miller and Murphy, they get all the credit. What about the hitting coach getting some credit once in a while here, right? I mean, yeah, you guys, you won the, without hitting, you can't win a World Series, am I right?
Good combination between pitching and hitting, so I think we all deserve credit.
Everybody, yeah. Listen, okay, so let's talk a little bit about what you do and how, you know, and how you go about it, because a lot of people, we just don't know. And when a guy... Let's just say a guy's in a slump. All right, when Yordan went into a little bit of a funk, how do you try to get him out of that and getting back to his normal self?
Well, I mean, the regular season is more easy because you got more time, more games, and you can just put together some videos when they're doing really well and when they're struggling. And it's a specific pitcher that they're struggling. Let's say cutter or curveball, then you look at videos. When they're doing good and hitting those cutters or those cool ones, you show them, you know, mechanically what we've been doing over there. And also we can attack our hitters and ask them, you know, tell them, you know what, they're throwing you out of cool because you're hitting, you know, 150 against cool balls. And we got to look, you know, how to fix them. It's either hitting cool ball machine more or it's something mechanically that we need to fix. But that's the way that we do it during regular season. Now, in the playoffs and a World Series, harder because it's an intense game by game. Sometimes you got to be careful how you're going to approach it because it's a lot of mentally drain that comes to every game. And you have to be like, you know, how you're going to talk to him, why you're going to talk to him about him. So it's a little bit harder approaching them regular season and playoffs. But the good thing about it is to have a good relationship with them, a good confidence. And the player trusts you, and when that happens, then it clicks right away and make it easier as a hitting coach or as a coach to talk to the players.
You know, Yordan's was, you found out, you guys saw that Yordan's was about his stance, right, or about the way he was approaching it, his hands, or whatever the case may be. How much of it is that versus mental for these guys?
Yeah, I can take you a little bit more of that. Let's talk about a little bit more about that home run that put us in that situation that we are right now, the world champions, Houston Astros. It was, your dad was both. It was mental and it was actually mechanically. So that game six, for example, he came to the cage like around 2 p.m. and he was, you know, kind of thinking about what he was doing and asking. I say, what's going on? What are you thinking about? I said, I watched a lot of video last night. I don't feel good at the play. Everything is not thinking mechanically. They're busting me a lot of fastball. I'm not hitting it. So I said, what you want to do? And he's like, I want to hit in the cage. And I say, okay, but before that, let's watch some video here. And we find something in his hand position were too close to his head, which was making him doing an extra move with his upper body, kind of leaning to the plate when he was going to attack. And that was when he was under, especially to the fastballs. And you know, I'll show you a couple of videos, and we moved his hands far back and a little bit out of his body. And, you know, we went to the cage, got five flips, put it, then hit my chin and said, you know what, I got it. That's it. That was it. And that was it. And during the game, we made some adjustments because he was really good in his swing, but he was landing late in his foot. And I told him, hey, your swing looks good, you're late. And when Alvarado came to the play, I said, hey, everything you're doing is fine now. Make sure you're early with him. He's going to throw you fastball, 99. And that will happen. So like I said, that will happen. And guide you in game six. about Jordan, for example.
Alex, how much of your work is technical versus preparing your? How much do you do to prepare your hitters for maybe what to look for from a particular pitcher? Are you involved in that at all, or where does that game planning come from for players to try to get a feel for how a pitcher may pitch him?
Yeah, specifically myself, I do 50-50. I do some mechanics work, make sure they really feel good in their mechanics, and also we do preparation. And you know, the front office and analyst guy do a really good job on preparing us, so that way we can give them information to what to do at the play. But at the end of the day, the players, they do their homework, and they also trust in themselves and what they see. And you know, sometimes we combine it and we sit down and say, what you mean? How he's going to approach you? And I can tell them, you're right, and this is what we got. And we show the information that we have for that. Analytics perform, and we also study the position, and we can have some feedback about it. So at the end of the day, it's a conclusion, and whatever the players feel is going to be the right approach to take to the game, and you got to go with that, because they're the one who hits, and they're the one who's thinking out there. We're preparing them, but we cannot get inside. If I can tell myself, you know, look for change-up, but, you know, their mentality, they have something else different. So we prepare them, and they, at the end of the day, like I say, they made the decision, but you know, we usually prefer them 50-50, you know, analytics, numbers, approaching, but also make sure that mechanically they're really good and they feel great at the play. So that's what we do.
So coaches in every sport, whether it's football or basketball or baseball, like guys who are self-correctors because they, you know, they really understand the art of shooting, hitting, whatever it is. Who is the best self-corrector, the guy that has the best feel for what he's doing mechanically on the team? I'm going to guess it's Bregman, but I might be wrong.
I'm going to guess Brantley.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Three guys that really understand their swings and mechanically and all of that, what they're doing. And you mentioned two of them, you know, Alex Bregman, Michael Brantley, and Jose Altuve. You know, those guys understand a lot of what they're doing in the play. Sometimes Jose could be trying to do too much his swing, but he understands what he's doing wrong, what he's doing right. Bregman's a freak. He's crazy about baseball, and Michael is a guy who is Mr. Perfection. You know, everything has to be perfect. Everything is same routine every day. He does the same thing every day, even he's hitting 400 or he's hitting 100. So those two guys understand their swing pretty well.
But they're so different. Alex Cintron, Astros hitting coach, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 9. Altuve is all over the place with all the movement that he's had, and Michael Brantley is so quiet at the plate, right?
Yep, that's true. They're so different. And they both have a great career. They both have hits and, you know, have performed really well on the big leagues. And like you say, Jose have a lot of going on. He moves a lot of his hands. Crossing and diving to the plate with his front foot, with people sometimes think, oh, he's crossing too much. No, sometimes his first move will get Jose in trouble. Jose's first move sometimes, instead of attacking mode, he goes up, and then he crossed to the plate, he dives to the plate, which causing him to hit a lot of ground balls or dump in the bat, which when he's like in the right move, he thinks his knee, and then attacking mode, then he stays inside the ball a lot. So those are two things that we usually pay attention in Jose's mechanics, how his first move is going. Is he coming up or is he thinking down?
Got it. Alex Cintron with us here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did you do with Pena when he was struggling about mid-season? And then what did you do with him in the postseason because he was unbelievable?
Yeah, Pena is kind of like, remember, he comes to the minor league system, another hitting coach, assistant hitting coach Jason Kinsler, who knows him a lot. We all work together. In Pena, he was doing some mechanic stuff that it kind of like it was not working for him. So kind of spread him out in the playoff, more spread out, more short with size. That way he can be on the ground faster and recognize the slider. That was kind of the pitch where he was having trouble to recognize it because he was kind of like jumping around with his front foot and his hands moving too much. So, you know, it was more about springing out in the plate and get the foot on the move and be early on the ground so that way he can recognize the pitcher, especially, like I said, the slider. But that's all Will did in the playoffs, especially Jason Kansas, who know him for the minor league system. They work on that, and the kid really, really did what he did, you know, MVP, ELCS, and World Series. So that was amazing.
Alex Cintron, the Astros hitting coach, is with us right now. This is great stuff, Alex. So you all have the same data, pitching coaches, pitchers, hitters, hitting coaches. So you know how, you know, they see where the weaknesses are for every hitter. How do you coach? Because everyone started attacking, and you talked a little bit about it. Everyone started attacking Yordan up in the zone with the fastball. How do you coach? Maybe they're attacking Altuve with a different pitch. How do you? Do you go out there with the cage with them and specifically work on their areas of weakness relative to what the analytics are telling you and how a pitcher is maybe going to pitch them? Do you work on trying to get Altuve to, you know, flip the ball into right field instead of pulling everything?
They do that, yeah. We do some drills, probably some side drills, and also the machine. He started with a slider, then we put some sliders in the machine so that way he let the ball get deep and start trusting his hand and hit the ball the right way, and then reacting with the hitter. Yeah, we work all that, and they know if something's struggling, what we're going to do that day. So, you know, basically with us, like, we know what they're doing wrong, how they're attacking them, and we present it to the player, and then we talk about it, and it's a drill that we think is going to be benefit and it's going to be good for them. We let them know, and if they want to do it, they agree, yeah, we do it. Remember, this is a game that has changed a lot, and the player has to feel comfortable doing things. We're not obligating nobody to do our stuff or our things, because I can think one thing, hey, do this or that, but the player doesn't want to do it. Now we're not working together. So this is more we present it to them, and like I say, they agree on it, and they say, you know what, you agree 100% that we work on it. If they don't agree, then we got to go with the weight, because they're the one who hits us, and we have to be really careful with that. That's part of the relationship that we have built with the players and the trusting part with them. So, yeah, but we do work in the stuff that we think, and they struggle at it.
Alex Cintron with us here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How is no shift going to – and we always ask, well, if it's wide open on the other, you know, other side, if nobody's over there, why don't you hit that way? And yet guys are still pulling the ball. How do you think it's going to change the game that you can't shift anymore?
Yeah, it will change a lot. Remember, when they do that, the shifting part, it's like they pitching those people in their weakness. So if they know Jose is going to be a pull ball guy, they're going to bust him inside and everything to make sure Jose hit the ball in that side. Also, it's taking away their damage. So they give you the hole, and they rather – how you have a single to right field that hit a homer.
Yeah.
So they see, and here see, like, oh, I have the hole open. Let me try to shoot it for the opposition. That's perfect, because now Jose Altuve have a single instead of hit a little home run. So it's gonna benefit a lot for the hitting side, because of, you know, a lot of guys will have more holes, and they're gonna have their whole space to hit the ball to the field. And probably going to affect some pitching. I feel like some ground ball pitching, like Framber and Lance, can be affected a little bit, because those ground balls that used to be caught in the 50 now can be go through the middle, or can be go through the left side. So we'll see how they're going to be affecting those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, are you glad that pitchers don't hit at all anymore, because you don't want to work with them at all?
I'm happy and glad. I'm so happy that we don't have to, like, in the middle of the season, like having hitters in the cage and in the hitting group, because that messed up our hitting routine, especially on the field. We used to have some hitters go out there, and instead of have five hitters, we have six, and we have to adjust to a group hitting. And because the time that we have, especially on the road, because usually in the road, that was when the pitcher hit.
Right.
It was crazy. So, and also it benefits a lot of people, because that way you don't know your pitcher's not gonna get hurt, and you're always scared, like, take a bad swing and the shoulder hurts, or pull a hamstring and be out for, you know, 3 months so that's something like we're really happy.
Yeah, and it was bad to watch too. We didn't want to watch it anyway, so that's good. That's Alex Cintron with us here on ESPN 97.5.
World champ.
That's right. I want to thank Melissa for setting that up. She was great. That is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it. Congratulations on your ring and everything that went along with it. You played a huge role, and we really appreciate you joining us.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Alex Cintron here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're done. Paul Gallant is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Y'all have a great day. We will talk to you again on Monday, everybody.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.